Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. That's right. Not only is it Friday, more importantly, it's the last day of non-padded work at Packers training camp. That's right. Day three wrapped up earlier today. The Packers have off tomorrow, and then Sunday. They'll be in at least half pads, but pads will be coming on Sunday. And the most encouraging thing is no real catastrophic injuries here over the course of the first 3 days. Though the news that Aaron Banks is dealing with a back issue is obviously unwelcome. I did a little bit of a video on that earlier today. I hope you check that out. And if you haven't yet, maybe you'll do so when we're done here. But don't love it. Don't love it, especially with your presumed starting center already on the shelf with a back issue. To have your starting left guard now join him in what Matt LaFleur termed will be, quote, very much day-to-day. Don't love that for an offensive line that needs all the reps it can get together. Certainly doesn't seem like that will be occurring anytime soon. But certainly getting through the first 3 days of camp without any major injuries is a win. And certainly parsing through the reports from camp today, especially, really feels like that defense is already cooking a little bit. And certainly there are big moments for the offense. There was a 50-yard bomb from Jordan Love to Dontavian Wicks, a big touchdown pass there. And Matthew Golden got going on a few end arounds. And certainly there were plays being made, no doubt about that. But overall, you can tell the tenor, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, the defense is usually ahead of the offense early on in training camp. And two new additions that the Packers made this offseason certainly seem to be, you know, stepping in right away and generating some excitement. And that is with Nate Hobbs at corner and Isaiah Simmons at linebacker. And I think with Hobbs, I think probably some of that was expected, right? Certainly you didn't think he was going to come in and light the world on fire or become an all-pro like McKinney did last year, but like his tape with the Raiders, and you understand why the Packers like his versatility, really feels like his play style is jumping off the field early on here. Certainly not only just the way he plays, the energy he brings, but his vocal presence both in the locker room and on the practice field. Welcome addition so far. And then Isaiah Simmons, I think I'm going to have a little bit of a, you know, Nagler's never right moment here. I thought for certain that when the Packers signed Simmons, it was going to be, you know, primarily a move to bolster their special teams. But he has been in the mix. He has certainly been in with the ones more often than not. Now, some of that may be directly tied to the fact that Quay Walker has been on the shelf because the ankle injury, what have you. So he's had to go take it slow. But Simmons has been out there each and every day, mixed in with the ones, playing that Sam backer spot for the most part, but, you know, contributing and making plays and showing off his athleticism. And I know we heard from him in the locker room yesterday talking about how he really appreciates being placed in one position as opposed to moving around as much as he has over the course of his NFL career so far. But man, I'm telling you, Chef Hafley got some new ingredients to be cooking with. And that's something we did talk about this offseason as far as the ability to mix and match dependent on your opponent and what the opposing offense likes to do and what their strengths are and your ability as a defensive coordinator to counter some of that, right? And to be able to give your own flavors and your own kind of problems each and every week so that if you're studying the tape and you're an offensive coordinator and you're looking at what the Packers do against certain types of personnel, well, we have a very different approach. I'm not quite sure how Hafley's going to concoct his game plan, so to speak, or what areas he's going to adjust week in and week out when it comes to the defensive matchups. Now, that's a lot of projection. I understand we're only 3 days into camp and they haven't even put pads on yet, but it certainly would appear that the Hobbs and Simmons additions, if nothing else, have added a bunch of athleticism and energy to the defensive side of the ball. And I know there's been a lot of hand-wringing all throughout the offseason about the cornerback position. Man, Hobbs seems ready to go, and I'm very excited to get there on Sunday. First kind of blush work with the pads and see if he can keep it up as the pads come on and things get more physical. Certainly love what you're hearing so far from that in that regard. Hello, everybody in the comments section. So good to see you all. How y'all doing? People chiming in here. Before I get to your questions, let me give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. That's right. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage or, indeed, in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. Another thing you should do is have a good weekend, man. I'm excited. The weekend is here. I'm headed to the motherland tomorrow morning, bright and early. Man, I tell you what, Corey Banky and these 6 a.m. flights, I gotta sign up, get some kind of provision and a new contract or something. I don't have to get up at damn 4:30 to go to the airport. Whew, that is a haul, let me tell you. Although the airport is right here, so it ain't too tough, but man, 6 a.m. flights, no bueno. Chuck, thanks for checking out the stream, man. This is a very interesting question. Mike Florio says that Mark Murphy should be the next NFLPA director. He is out of a job, right? Funnily enough, he's out of a job like as of this moment. I believe the shareholders meeting is occurring as we chat. And the official handover, I don't know if they're handing a scepter on stage or whatever, but maybe it's a block of cheese. But yeah, the official tenure of one Edward Policy begins right now. And Mark Murphy is officially retired. And I did see that kind of the positing of that idea by Florio on Twitter. And I got to admit, that is not the world's craziest idea. I think the PA would be smart to at least explore that and at least make a call. Now, I know Tyler joked on the Cheesehead TV Twitter, you know, Mark wants to golf. He doesn't want to keep working. He doesn't want to head up the PA, et cetera, which is most likely true. The man has been in this gig in Green Bay for almost a couple decades now. He did purchase a golf course. You know, I think he's ready to chill. But, yeah, however, don't forget, in his playing days, he was the player rep in Washington. He helped navigate the players through the strike in 82 and into 83. He has experience on that side. And this is where you got to go with me a little bit here. What better way for Mark Murphy to perhaps twist the knife a little bit into the side of the league that made him and the Green Bay Packers the scapegoat for them wanting to get the tush push stuff on the agenda this offseason? Now, I don't think Mark Murphy is going to make a major life decision because of that one thing. However, I do think that's something he might think about and pontificate on. You know, that would be a very smart move by the Players Association to reach out to Murphy and see if he would be interested. I mean, what is that line in Return of the King? Yeah, I think it's in the extended version for you, all you nerds out there. But when Gandalf is talking to Saruman after, you know, Saruman's been defeated, and he says, "You were deep in the enemy's council." Well, Mark Murphy been deep in the enemy's council for 20 years. I'm just saying, crazier stuff has happened. I doubt it happens. But like I said, if I'm the players union, I make that call. I 100% make that call. E4, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Good luck to your gals on Sunday. The quarter and semifinals were excellent. Hopefully the final will be too. I can't remember what time it's supposed to be on. I think I'm probably going to be working, unfortunately, but it's always good to see England in a final. Just please, God, don't let it come down to penalty kicks. Nobody needs that. Joe, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Is there a package to have Simmons, Cooper, and Walker on the field together? Can they play base against 11 personnel? I do think some of this is driven by that very idea, right? I don't think it's going to be base. with those three, I don't think you'll see, you know, week in and week out that group together. Again, I think it will be somewhat dependent on their opponent. But you're talking about 11 personnel. For those of you who don't know what that means one running back, one tight end, and also by extension, three wide receivers. I wouldn't be surprised if, depending on down and distance, certain situational stuff, yeah, I could see them keeping three linebackers, those three linebackers in particular, on the field, because you do have coverage ability. You have some speed there. We certainly saw Cooper last year be able to flip his hips and get downfield almost 25 yards with a receiver in that Jacksonville game. And Quay Walker did the same stuff too. I know the internet doesn't like Quay Walker, but he did it in the Bears game, you know? So yeah, there are certainly, again, very situational, opponent specific moments where I think that that's a possibility. I don't think it's going to be their regular MO, but you love getting those three guys on the field together, especially because it does kind of play with the expectations of the offensive coordinator. If he does come out in 11 thinking, oh, they're definitely going to go nickel, and hell, the Packers were in nickel like 70% of the time last year, so it's not a big stretch for the OC to expect that. Now, all of a sudden, you come out there and, wait, they've got three linebackers? But we were hoping to run it on second and eight or something like that, you know? There's a lot of different kind of different ways it could go, but I think there's a possibility there. We could see that at times. No question about it. Abdullah, thanks for the super chat. Hey, Aaron, what role will Hopper have this season? We will find out. I would suspect a depth piece off of the bench, be my guess, probably contributing on teams without question, but I don't see him as of right now having a major role in base or in nickel, and he's certainly not going to be the dime linebacker. So now we got a long way to go, and the pads have to come on yet. So maybe the pads come on and he's out there flying around making plays, bringing guys, you know, to the ground in preseason games, because not in practice, but and maybe he, you know, makes a big jump. It's entirely possible. But we will see. But being able to discern what kind of roles anybody's going to have at this point long term in the season is a little difficult and a little premature, especially till we get some padded practices in under our belt, so to speak. Brandy, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. I think Clark is the catalyst for this year's defense. Getting him in positions he can excel at might not be the worst idea. Well, I know he talked to some reporters yesterday and was talking about how good he feels and how much healthier he is, and the fact that, you know, the work he had done this offseason has really helped. And that first practice, you have that kind of a bit of a trepidation because you haven't been on the field for so long, and what's it going to feel like? And it sounds like Kenny's A+. So I'm with you in the sense that, yes, a healthy Kenny Clark certainly should help. To your other point, you know, in positions where he can excel. Well, supposedly, from what I've seen reported, is that they are running him at nose these first couple practices, which is, if you've watched Justice and I at all this offseason, we've talked quite a bit about that idea, about getting him in at the nose tackle position and letting him really kind of wreak havoc with the center. We've seen him do that throughout his career. Last year, it looked like they had him at the three tech a whole lot more than usual. And that, coupled with his toe injury, I don't think helped matters. So here's hoping. We will see. Jason, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. I know we have 100 wide receivers, but I'm most excited to see the offensive line gel and let the power running game dominate. Man, you're old school, baby. Just like me. That's why we have a t-shirt that says run the fucking ball. I'm with you, man. I'm loving the idea of the offensive line gelling, but with two starters on the shelf due to back injuries, it might be a bit. But yeah, man, I'm with you. The main thing I want to see is the running game in service of the quarterback. Like, I'm all like, I get I'm a caveman and I like running the ball, but I have, you know, a modern mindset as far as I still want to pass the football and score points, and points come out of the passing game, and a great running game should help and open up things for your quarterback. That didn't really materialize last year in the way that I think the Packers would have liked. I think we're going to see that a lot more this year. And that's the hope, and that's the dream. Guitar Ted, 2025 back issues equal 2023 hamstring issues. I mean, we'll see. It's a long way. Who knows what the injury du jour might be in a couple weeks. But I will say, someone on Twitter, and it never fails, right? Someone on Twitter responded to the fact that Banks has a back issue with, you know, who's the, what's the strength and conditioning coach's grades from the NFLPA, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's like, everyone always, anytime anybody gets hurt, anytime, it's like, fire the strength and conditioning. Oh, the strength and conditioning coach don't know what they're doing. It's like, do we remember they just hired this strength and conditioning staff last offseason? They've been in the building for 1 year. Oh, you mean injuries didn't magically disappear? No, you know why? Because they play football. Sorry, I know. I go on about this all the time. It just bugs the living hell out of me. And it's a very, I don't know, it's a very easy thing that people just, no matter how many times you tell them, show them the data that essentially says there, you know, there's no correlation. Doesn't matter. It just does drive me a little crazy. Oh, that's a good question, Eastside. Does Steno call all the plays during the offseason? A lot of them he does. I know when I've been in camp previous summers, he is doing a lot of the work as far as calling the plays during like competitive periods, during the 2 minute and things like that. Sometimes they kind of move it around. Sometimes it'll be like guys like John Dunn or other, or Vrabel. And I know they've had those guys, including Steno, call plays in preseason games. Certainly, I think last year, I think they did it by a half, like Steno did one half and Vrabel did the next or something like that. But yeah, during camp work, a lot of the time, Steno's the one calling the plays. And I think it's only a matter of time for that guy as a head coach. The Packers are lucky to have him, and I'm hopeful that they can keep him as long as possible. What else we got here, folks? Don't want to miss any super chats. Hey, Jake, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. How are you, man? Going to any home games this season, or at least streaming across the street? Not going to the games, but I am going to be in town for the season opener. So, going to be streaming from Corey's house during the Lions game. Yes. And as I mentioned yesterday, we will be having a get together / meetup / party the night before that game, Saturday night. I believe that's September 5th in Green Bay. So watch this space, because we will be getting that information out there as soon as we've got it locked in, so to speak. Oh boy, Jason, why you got to do this to me? In your opinion, what number 50 linebacker had a better Packer career, AJ Hawk, Rich Wingo, or Johnny Holland? Well, Johnny Holland is my sentimental pick because I loved watching him when I was a young man, but I got to give it to AJ Hawk. And that's no knock to Wingo or anybody, but I mean, Hawk was absolutely incredible as far as production, helping to win a championship, and staying on the field / always being available. I get people get disappointed with his draft status and where he was selected and that fact that he didn't become some all-world Hall of Fame type linebacker / player. But man, all he did was produce. All he did was show up and help them win a championship. I'll take it. In my book, that's good. Oh, guitar, I saw this. They picked up a running back whose name I am not going to attempt to pronounce because I would absolutely butcher it. But I know the 49ers had released him. He was on waivers. The Packers picked him up, and he was a former fifth round pick with the Jets. My instant response, or my instant kind of thought, honestly, was, what does this mean for Amar Johnson, the undrafted kid who started camp and is still on the non-football injury list? I hope this isn't a precursor to his release. I hope it just means he's going to be on the list for maybe longer than anticipated, or maybe they just like Israel. Maybe they just think he's a really good prospect. Maybe they loved him in the draft process and found a chance to get him, which is always possible. But I mean, you need players to get through camp, right? You need bodies to get through practices and preseason games. And I suspect that's what that select, that pickup is. Go Pack Go. How are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Just bought myself a new classic Tucker Craft jersey. Surely this will age like fucking wine, right? Loving that look. One question, by the way. Thoughts? So many thoughts. And yes, that is a leap of faith, man. I mean, he is primed, right? He is on the precipice of becoming a star in the NFL. Like, they keep talking about it. Certainly have seen enough to start featuring him more, but they got to do it. You know, Matt's got to call those plays and Jordan Love's got to get him the ball, but certainly you saw the glimpses last year. You saw the beginnings. And I would suspect if he is able to reach those type of heights, you got to think they probably lock him up next offseason, which would mean you can keep that jersey on for a while. It's always a danger, though, when you get a jersey guy in his rookie contract. You never know. You never know. I mean, I've said it many times. If you want to know, you know, or you want a guidepost to what not to do when it comes to buying jerseys, talk to Corey Behnke. I mean, he had a 4-year streak, I swear to God, back in the day where he'd be so excited about his new jersey. And then next year, one of them was Mike McKenzie, which I only remember right now because of the whole Elton Jenkins situation. But he was so excited. He loved Mike McKenzie. He bought that new Mike McKenzie jersey. And then camp happened. Mike had his mysterious hamstring injury and showdown with Sherman, and then Sherman traded him. I mean, I'm talking, this was like a multi-year run of Behnke, like picking jerseys where the guy was gone the next season. Amazing times. Nick, thank you for being a Care of the G Club member, and thank you for the kind words. Thanks for all you do, Nags. Go Pack Go. Well, thank you, sir. It was great to meet you a few years ago. I see you pop in and out all the time, man. Thank you so much for the support. Really appreciate it. Ooh, Rick Harris. What's up, man? I want a Packer Leatherhead winter hat. I want all that merch. I'm telling you, that classic line, it's going to put me out of business. I just know I'm going to be in the pro shop tomorrow afternoon, and I suspect I am going to be broke by the time I leave. I mean, I want everything. Bill, that's a fair question. Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook, by the way. Which injured players are concerning to you, Nags? Nothing. No, but no, there's nothing concerning yet. I mean, everything they're dealing with right now is, you know, as far as the spectrum of issues and or problems when it comes to injuries or, you know, concern levels, right now is nothing, man. You're getting to camp. You're as healthy as the Packers are. You're doing life right. Certainly you don't love Elton and Aaron Banks on the sideline there with back issues. I hate back issues with the offensive line. Talked about that a little bit on my video this morning. Not a fan of that, but, and this is what I said in the video, if there's a group in the NFL where I don't worry about guys getting back out on the field too early, you know, it's in Green Bay. You know, obviously players will lobby and there will be conversations, and undoubtedly the Packers will do everything in their power to make sure that these guys are right as rain when they do get back out there. So yeah, right now, nothing terrible, man. Again, they're living life pretty well. Now pads come on Sunday, right? So we'll see. Ask me again, say next Friday. Let's give it a week and see what the butcher's bill is. Cause I guarantee you there are going to be injuries. There are going to be kind of things popping up that, you know, feel difficult to deal with, what have you. You know, that's just training camp. That's what happens. So yeah, right now, man, I'm loving life. I'm drinking a beer. Things are good. Okay, so we got here, folks. At least it was not a Tony Mandrich jersey. Yeah, no doubt about it. Jim, I feel you here. Hawk not in the Packers Hall of Fame, and Holland a much better player. I think it's only a matter of time before Hawk's in the Packers Hall of Fame. And Holland, like I said, sentimental for me. I loved him growing up. I think he was a phenomenal player. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think AJ is just as good. I really do. But we can agree to disagree like grown adults. I know it's the internet, and that's a very rare thing, but here we are. Menace, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. I know it's camp, but Caleb Williams, woof. I assume there's something out there. I gotta be honest. I don't consume anything from other teams' camps once the Packers are on the field, dude. Come on. I'm kidding. I mean, every once in a while I'll see something while I'm scrolling, but I certainly didn't see anything about Williams today that piqued my interest. And also, as you say there, it's camp, man. Yeah, and they're installing a new offense down there. It's going to take a bit. I'm telling you, man, there's nothing you can tell me that, you know, is going to dissuade me from the thought that Caleb Williams is going to be pretty good. Like, he's going to be a problem for a couple years here. So, you know, yeah, maybe throw a couple of picks. Maybe he doesn't look bad or looks bad in a practice. Fine. He's still talented as hell. And I'm not a fan of him being a Packers opponent here twice a year for several years. I'm not loving that idea. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. And I'll be back on Sunday after practice. I'll be at practice in the morning on Sunday. I'll be doing a couple videos off of that, including our daily chat, and that'll be a Sunday chat. So I hope you'll join me right here on Cheesehead TV. Really appreciate each and every one of you chiming in and watching along here live and consuming it later, whether it's here on YouTube or Facebook or on Spotify. I got a lot of new followers on Spotify. Thank you so much for that. Please, just whatever you do, just hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. See you Sunday. Go Pack, go.